Four-man rush. Fields has time. Launches downfield. It's Olave. He's got a touchdown, Ohio State. A deep strike, and the Buckeyes stretch the lead again. 56 yards. Wow.
Because of the day when they say we are, we say we are the Buckeyes.
The handoff by Hoynes to George in a foot race, and he gets away. George is gone. Eddie George putting up more Heisman Trophy numbers.
Offensive line gives Troy plenty of time. Goes deep, Gens wide open. Wide open, folks. Touchdown. Here we go. Get out the adding machine. We're underway.
It doesn't stop being average. It begins to be elite when you can cross the line. Today is that kind of day.
Wartenschlager to the sideline, caught. First down.
Woo! What a hit. Denzel Ward. You got barbecue back there? And you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Don't let that team stand in the way. No way!
Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks!
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with Big Cass. And Big Cass, man, road trip was a big success, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a really great success. It was a road game in the most confusing campus.
I told you.
In the Big Ten.
I warned him. I did warn you. Rutgers, and for anyone that traveled there, very confusing campus.
Yeah. All in all, it had some beautiful moments, and it was a nice campus. I wish they would have a bigger sign for the birth of college football place than just a little plaque. But it is Rutgers, and it was a great time. I thought everybody was super nice. At first, I thought we were going to have some problems with a couple of Rutgers fans behind us. But once the Ohio State went up 21-0, it felt like, okay, yeah, it's going to be okay.
Talking about that too. The fans behind us, they were a little obnoxious at first, but then they lightened up and they're having a good time. I thought.
Oh, for sure, and they talked like they knew college football, and that was the greatest thing ever. Like the one guy was so mad because Greg Schiano went for a fake punt and it should have been picked off by Cameron Martinez, and it probably would have went six.
It would have.
But they came up. The question was, is Ohio – the one guy made a comment about how Ohio State is on Mount Rushmore college football programs, and they're like, well, who's the four? And they named 10 other schools, and I'm like – Lord. And like, there was a lot of times where Dan and I had to basically interrupt their conversation to set them straight about true factual stuff about the Buckeyes. And, but all in all, they were good guys. They weren't out to cause trouble. They were passionate
Rutgers fans.
I've never met a passionate Rutgers fan, but we met three of them.
We met like the Tennessee Jeff of Rutgers fans, I think, when you put it like – really passionate Rutgers fans. I honestly, it was a good time. I met a couple of Rutgers fans in the bathroom, and they were just asking me about random stuff. It was good seeing the Denzel Burke pick six right in front of us. That and the Travion Henderson touchdown, we literally saw – the hole open up like in just that lane, and he just shot through it for six. Yeah. I mean, that was right in front of us.
And there's one thing that Rutgers fans that sat there and told us. And there was a couple of them that said, we know for sure we're not going to the Big Ten championship. We just want to make sure Penn State doesn't go. Their hate for Penn State is unreal, and I don't understand their hate for Penn State, but I guess – if Greg Schiano can turn the corner for Rutgers, could Penn State finally have a rival in Rutgers, as they claim that they're unrivaled?
Yeah, I mean, I think they tried to make Maryland their rival, but Maryland, it's the rivalries in the Big Ten's all confused right now. It's kind of weird, other than like the classic ones. Yeah. I mean, I just thought I had a good time for the most part.
It was a great time.
Yeah, Ohio State looked fantastic. C.J. Stroud looked incredible, and you were, I think, the first person that was on the C.J. Stroud like hype train, because you're the one who got the video of him throwing. In practice, he was throwing 50-yard bombs, like in practice. Well, not practice, in warm-ups, and he looked fantastic.
Even my wife said something about like his arm looks great. He didn't, notice, and like I'm doing this in the camera, like the rest of our listeners can see me actually do it. But you know how he just waved his shoulder every time he would throw the ball, like in the first three games that he mm-hmm. played. He did not do that one time. And my favorite play of the game that he did was he felt pressure up the middle, avoided the pressure, and dropped a dime to Chris Olave and let mm-hmm. Chris Olave do the rest and score a touchdown.
Yes.
That was my favorite play of the game, because we saw what C.J. Stroud can do when healthy under pressure.
I agree. That play definitely stood out. Just the way he was able to get mobile in the pocket. Another play that stood out, I believe it was on the drive where Mitch Rossi scored his first touchdown, the player two leading up to that, C.J. Stroud, actually kept the ball and ran for a first down up the middle, dove for it. God, it was like
That was the same drive where I went back and rewatched this game, but it was the same drive where Master Teague was clearly in the end zone, but somehow whoever's in New York for Big Ten Network even said, I don't know how they overturned this call, but they did, and that's when we found Mitch Rossi for a touchdown.
You know what, though? I loved watching him get that touchdown. Master Teague's had plenty of touchdowns.
Absolutely.
He'll get more. Mitch Rossi, I don't think he might never score a touchdown again for Ohio State, and that was an awesome moment. And it was a great – honestly, though, great play call, too, by the coaching staff, because everyone in that stadium thought that ball was going to Master Teague. Like, that had me completely fooled. Throwing the football to Mitch Rossi out of the fullback spot was such a great play call. No one was covering that. Rutgers wasn't covering it. I wouldn't have even thought of that. So I give Ryan Day and the staff props on that call.
It's the beard.
It is the beard. The beard's magical. Another throw I liked by Stroud, though, was just that absolute dime he tossed to JSN. Mm-hmm. It was probably like a 25, 30-yard throw, but it was like right in the breadbasket in between two defenders, perfect spiral. And like you saw the way that ball moved, it looked like a Justin Fields type throw, honestly. That's something that Justin Fields makes. He made a couple times, I think, for the Bears this weekend. And you saw C.J. Stroud doing it in game against Rutgers, and it's something to be really excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. The offense, the best offense in the country statistically, and it's not even close. If you look at it, it's not even close. They're averaging almost 8 yards a play. You got to give credit to the offensive line. That offensive line is leading the way. Jeremy Rucker had a great day, and I'm glad for him, being close to home. Mm-hmm. It was just a great offensive performance by the Buckeyes. And people were like, well, Travion needed the ball more. Well, Travion got banged up.
He got hurt.
Banged up when we were up 31-6. There was no reason to play him anymore.
I mean, yeah, there's absolutely no reason to play him. I know people are crying to get his stats padded and stuff for the Heisman, but honestly, that will come. It's more important, I think, to keep him healthy. And he played great. I have no complaints. I really don't. That was just
I have no complaints
either.
That
was the best game we've played all season. We looked like a real Ohio State team. And Rutgers, and this isn't that the same old Rutgers team too. People are saying, "Oh, it's Rutgers; they stink." No, they're still 3-2. They're a very good team. It's just more that Ohio State really, I think, put it all together on that Saturday. I was shocked. I will admit, I do think Rutgers, once they did the first trick play and it didn't work, that definitely hurt them really bad. It also, I think, it might have flustered Shiano a little bit. I think if the play worked, we would have seen more trick plays. But after that miss, they didn't really try to trick us as much.
No, they didn't. And Greg Shiano is a good coach. And he's going to turn Rutgers around, but you got to give him time, and it's going to take time. And he's in the – they're in the best division in college football. I mean, Danny – if Danny Cannell, of all people, can say the Big Ten East is the best division in college football, then it's for sure. It just – the way the offense just came out and played after the Buckeyes, you know, get that – you know, get them to fail on a – four down, it's great to see. And I'm going to switch sides here. The defensively, I'm there telling you what, number 14, Ronnie Hitman, not Hickman.
Yeah.
Ronnie Hitman. The dude is all over the field. And James Laurinaitis said, when I rewatched the game Monday, he said, I feel like we called his name four times in a row. And it's just the way this kid flies around the football. He's lining up at linebacker. Next thing you know, he's dropping back in coverage. Next thing you know, he's the free safety. Like, this dude plays everywhere.
You know who really stood out to me too was once again Tyleek Williams. He had a sack on the day and the interception to Ryan Watts. He forced that. He's the one who hit him, basically got the ball to basically get thrown in the air right to Ryan Watts. So I thought Tyleek Williams once again flashed.
Zach Harrison flashed.
Yeah, he did.
He's the one that caused the Tommy Eichenberg.
Yeah, our boy, number 35, got a pick.
I got to tell you a funny story real quick about Tommy Eichenberg. There's this older fellow that I work with. His name's Bob. Legit, that's what his name is. He's Bob.
Yeah.
And he was telling me in the compliance lead, which is the refrigerator where our refrigerator products are at work, that number 35 is all over the field, that he needs to play more. We both looked at him and said, this dude literally had 179 snaps and only has 8 tackles. Like, ouch. But he had a good game. He did have a good game.
He redeemed himself. I'll give him credit when it's due. 35 had a very good day. If he continues to play like that, I'll be happy. Also, though, 11 Warriors pointed this out, and it was a really good article. You got to go check it out. I forgot who wrote it, but it was basically an article talking about how Ohio State is finally playing, you know, two safeties. And I really think that was a big turning point for this defense. Rewatching the game film, it allowed our corners like Denzel Burke, you know, Cam Brown to have, you know, protection behind banks. Them. Yeah, protection behind them. We're playing, you know, Cam Martinez, Lathan Ransom at the safety spot. And it's good. It's just good for the defense. It was really good for run against the run. It basically allows them to have better gap control in the run game too. And, I mean, in the passing game, like, we forced 3 picks. So I'm really thrilled with the adjustments Matt Barnes has made as a defensive coordinator. I think we need to give him a lot of credit. I'm excited to see how he continues to improve this week against Maryland, because Maryland is bringing a very good passing attack. I know they lost Dante Demas.
Yeah, he's out, and it didn't look like their passing attack looked bad against Iowa once he went out.
It did. To his little brother was trying to force a lot of things, it looked like. Also, they do have Rakeem Jarrett, though. He was, I think, at one point committed to OSU, correct? Or I know he's highly, highly recruited at
Ohio State. I'm not quite sure on that.
He might have been committed. I'm not sure. But he was a big target, nevertheless.
Yeah.
He's their top receiver now. He's a very good player. He could definitely do some damage against our corners, I think.
I don't know. I mean, because if Denzel Burke's on him one-on-one, I think Denzel Burke's just – he's starting to come around. Just this whole defense just maturing. Again, this team is maturing so much and getting better. And I called out. I said somebody needs to be that Jonathan Cooper. And Jerron Cage is the one that stepped up and was that Jonathan Cooper. And he kind of starting to remind me of Jonathan Cooper. He's going to come in and show flashes on the defensive line. He's not that guy that's going to make a tackle or get the sack every play, but he's going to come in with a high motor. That's what Jonathan Cooper did, and that's what Daron Cage did this Saturday. And the reports of him after the – I think it was the Tulsa game of him getting in players, you know, faces, getting them routed up, getting them ready. Maybe that was the turn – maybe Daron Cage was the turning point of this defense of saying, hey, you know, and especially the performance they had against Akron. I know it was Akron, but to get this team to say, hey, we can do this. We can compete with the best. We're five-star athletes for a reason. We're at Ohio State starting on defense for a reason. We got to start playing. And, yeah, the adjustment of – I think Kerry Combs moving up to the box and Matt Barnes being down on the top, on the field has been a great move by Ryan Day. Great – No offense to Tress and Urban Meyer, but no coach has made better adjustments, whether it's in-game or mid-season, than Ryan Day.
I agree. I mean, what I respect about Ryan Day is he coaches – like he designs his team to his players' strengths, I think. He does that very well. He doesn't get enough credit. I will say – Cody Simon, but JTT had his first career sack. He showed some flashes. McCall actually had a tackle. I believe he might have had a pass breakup too. McCall looked good. I mean, overall, Cass, just a great
Jack
day. Jack Sawyer flash. Craig Young was actually all over the place. He looked very good. The one that was I felt kind of bad for. He struggled when he finally got playing time was Court Williams. The second touchdown to Youngblood was kind of on him. He didn't do a good job pursuing inside out. I'm just looking at my notes here.
It's just fixable things. I mean, yeah, it very is. We're nitpicking now. Like we're at that nitpicking. Like he didn't.
That's good though. You know what? I love being at the nitpicking stage of this because it's so much better than sitting back here and being like, oh, we just got to burn down the whole defense. Yeah,
When we did the Oregon, the week after the Oregon, we'd be like, stay in your lanes. Don't over pursue. Mm-hmm. Like, just the fact that where we at 3 weeks ago is totally better than what we were. And the fact that we only had to use the punter maybe once or twice. And that was just because when Kyle McCord was in. Real quick on Kyle McCord, and nitpicking.
Did Cam Babb attempt a pass?
No.
It says for some reason here it says number 8 Cameron Babb attempted a pass.
No, it's supposed to be Jack Miller or Kyle McCord.
Because
they're six and nine. So
Cam Babb's 8 though. I don't know. That's weird.
I don't know. Weird. Well, Stover was number 8 this week too.
Maybe it's him.
Because him and number 16, Ryan Watts are on special teams together.
Yeah.
But going to Kyle McCord, I don't know a lot about this kid. He's a Buckeye, so I like this kid. But I'm glad they named C.J. Stroud as the starter because 2 weeks in a row when this kid has gotten the opportunity, him throwing the football has been cringeworthy. To start the game. Like, he's made some really questionable throws.
I agree. I mean, he's still so young, too.
Stroud, for sure.
Stroud's had a full year or more in that offense. But just comparing the both, though, Stroud throws a much prettier ball. Just, you can tell right away.
I will sit here and tell you, because I've watched the teams warm up now 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Akron, Tulsa, yeah. Rutgers. Quinyers has the best ball out of them all.
Really?
When it comes to deep balls. Yeah.
Interesting.
Like it floats out there. Now, when it comes to short, tight passes that he does throw, he has some accuracy issues. But when it comes to it's like when Cardale Jones first came out and just started slinging it. That's what it reminds you of. And that's what I like. People are calling it, Quinyers should dress and play a little bit. You could tell he has some accuracy issues, and I think that's just adjusting to college football.
It's timing, too. It's timing, knowing where the receivers are going to be.
And it's warm-ups, so I'm taking it with a grain of salt. Like,
it is. When the pressure comes down, when the lights turn on and the pressure gets amped up, it's different.
So speaking of lights up, did Ryan Day today in his press conference hint around that Penn State will be a night game? Did you hear that?
I think it's assumed, honestly, at this point. It's...
Because I was looking at the schedule. Michigan and Michigan State play that day. I think that's big noon kickoff right over it.
You know, if they keep winning, yeah, that would be the big noon kickoff game, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And which sucks for me because I would like the paycheck, but I was looking at that and I'm like, I texted my buddy Aaron. I was like, dude, this is literally the big team October 30th, unless teams go down between now and then, is literally the Big Ten East semifinals.
It is. I mean, yeah, you would think so. You really would. No disrespect to the other two, you know, good teams in our division that play that day. But
because, say, God forbid we lose and Michigan loses, that same final Saturday, Michigan State and Penn State have to match up. So, like,
yeah.
October 30th, yeah, I know we got two ball games between now and then, but October 30th is going to be a great day for college football. And if you work weekends, you might want to schedule some PTO for that day.
Yeah, definitely. I already got my ticket. Well, I don't work weekends, but I got my tickets to that game. I can't wait for the Penn State game. I think I'm going to wear my Ohio State jacket. It's white. I'm sorry. It's a white jacket. I'll wear a red jersey, though, a scarlet jersey.
Yeah, you'll have to wear scarlet out.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Maryland a little bit. I mean, there ain't much we could say more about the Rutgers game.
They were okay, though, Maryland. They were winning games before they just got absolutely curb stomped by Iowa. And Iowa is honestly one of the best teams in the country right now. They're 4-1. They beat West Virginia week one. Everyone remembers that when they did the certified loser boy tweet. Then they beat Howard, not a good opponent. Illinois, Kent State, not powerhouses, but I mean, they did take it to West Virginia, and West Virginia, they're okay. I mean, they kept it close against Oklahoma 16-13. So I don't think Maryland is as bad as everyone thinks they are. I thought honestly Maryland could have pulled off the upset against Iowa, but Iowa, I give them all the credit in the world.
Well,
they're a very good team.
When Dumas went down, it sucked the air out of the team.
It did. I would have liked to see that game without Demas getting hurt.
I still think it would have been some sort of a blowout just because that defense really confused Tagovailoa. And Ohio State's got great athletes on defense too, and I think they can usually go with that same game plan to try to confuse now that his main target is out. And they don't have the Anthony McFarlands of the world who's going to rush for 230 yards in the first half.
I think if Demas didn't get hurt, it would have been like 42-28 the score.
Yeah, something like that.
It would have been a little closer. But, yeah, it's – Maryland doesn't have like – they don't have a scary running back.
No. They don't have the Anthony – like I said, they don't have Anthony McFarland back there rushing for 235 yards.
Teyon Fleet Davis is their starting running back. He's not – he's averaging 7 yards a carry, so he's not terrible, but he's no Verdell or right. Ibrahim. Like, I think we could handle him, but you never know. Maybe the defense of the first 2 weeks rears its ugly head this weekend. We don't know.
I hope not,
but it's in the back of my mind.
I don't think so. And the fact that if Iowa's offense could put up as many points as they did against Maryland, can you imagine what the Buckeyes can do?
Well, this is a big game where we're going to really begin to gauge how good Ohio State is compared to like Iowa. Let's say, you know, Ohio State thumps them like we did against Rutgers. We're looking good. If this is a close, you know, one or two touchdown game, then I'm going to get a little nervous about potentially winning the Big Ten. That's when I might start be thinking like, oh man, Iowa might be the really good team this year. But I mean, upsets do happen, obviously.
When it comes down to it, Ohio State is at home, homecoming, hopefully 100, finally 100,000. It's supposed to be beautiful out. I know it's a noon kickoff, but man, go to the game. The tickets are cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't really looked, but I'm sure they're pretty cheap. And just go to the game, support these Buckeyes. They're on a roll right now, scoring 55 plus points. Well, yeah, back to back weeks or something like that. I mean, come on, like this. I think this team rules.
Weather, I mean, for those interested, weather is going to be absolutely beautiful Saturday.
I'll be there.
Low is 61, high of 80 degrees. I mean, that's a beautiful fall day. We don't have many of these days left, by the way, folks.
I will be there with Aaron Goldsmith and Brock Heward. And that's who's calling the game.
That's awesome.
Because Big Noon kickoff is technically at noon, but they're at the Iowa-Penn State game.
And also, just so everyone knows, tickets about $60 right now.
Go to the game.
Not bad at all, really. I mean, if I wasn't going to be in South Carolina for a baptism, I'd be at the game. I'm going to be at a brewery, though, instead for that. So, I mean, it's going to be a great weekend of college football.
Sorry.
Cass is hyped about something. Something just happened.
There's a moth flying
I thought you were cheering. I thought you were like watching like the Thursday night game and you were just like fist pumping.
Only if Jordan Fuller went on a safety blitz and sacked Kyler Murray. But sorry, there was a moth flying right by my head and now it's like on the light on my ceiling fan in my bed in my office. But yeah, I've been saying all week. And I made the same prediction as somebody else on Facebook that made a graphic. And I'm going right down to it. I'm going Buckeyes 59-10. I don't think Maryland has that much. And with losing their top guy, it's going to be a long day for the Maryland Terrapins.
I'm going to go with – I'm going to say Ohio State – 50 I do my math.
Travion's gonna have a big day.
He'll always have a big day. 7 times 8. 56. Maryland 17.
Okay.
56-17. I think that's what we'll get.
I hope they don't score 17, but that's okay.
I think they'll get like a field goal early, maybe like a touchdown. It'll be like 14-10, and then we'll just absolutely pull away. And then they'll get like a garbage time touchdown, something like that.
By the way, I thought the Rams were playing the Cardinals, but apparently they're playing the Seahawks. So,
yeah, it's a good game. I'm definitely going to watch the second half of this.
Coastal Carolina is up 31-0 on Arkansas State.
They're a powerhouse. But we got to mention this too, because we were texting about this. The tears of college football.
RJ Young is a moron.
Yes, we got to bring this up. I like RJ Young.
He's a moron.
He's not good with ranking these teams. He's just not using common sense. But I like his other work, his other takes. But his rankings are horrid.
They're awful. They're so bad. I get tier one. I really do get tier one, Georgia and Bama by themselves. Like, I really get that. But he also ranked his own AP top 25 and had Ohio State 17th.
RJ is – he doesn't read into the brand, I don't think. He doesn't understand the brand, the program, the machine. Yeah, I think he had, like, Oklahoma and, like, BYU in his – oh, no, Oklahoma State and BYU in his tier two. It was something ridiculous.
Yeah, so here's his tier one, Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah.
Okay. Tier two, Iowa, Penn State, BYU, Oklahoma State.
Which I wouldn't put any – like, the only questionable teams in there that I might put over Ohio State are the two Big Ten teams. Even I still think Ohio State's better than Iowa and Penn State, even though Iowa's playing great, but I think they will screw it up.
Tier three, Cincinnati, Kentucky, Michigan State.
It's like, yeah, Kentucky got one good win, and then suddenly they're tier three. And
Michigan State gave up 31 points to Western Kentucky.
Yeah, I feel like you got to move Coastal. why is Coastal tier four? Coastal,
why is Oklahoma tier four? Why is Michigan tier four? Why is Notre Dame? Well, okay, never. Why is Ohio State? Why is Oregon tier four? Like, Oregon beat the number two team, number three team in the country.
Yeah, it's not a well thought out list.
And he's getting thrashed by, like, he's getting thrashed by every fan base. Like, even Alabama and Georgia fans are sticking up, like, sticking up for Ohio State and say, how can you put Ohio State tier four? Like,
it's so true though. It's just a bad list. Like, if SEC fans are chiming in saying it's a bad list about Ohio State, then it's clearly a bad list because we never get love from them.
No, absolutely. There was a lot of things that happened this week that just had me scratching my head. Like, you know, we're not mentioning the Urban Meyer thing. That's just stupid. I don't want to mention it. It's dumb.
It's been all over the media. It's like the number one thing. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of seeing
it. It's so bad that Shelley Meyer has to delete her Twitter.
You took the sweetest lady. The internet took the nicest lady. I liked Shelley. Everyone liked her Twitter. Well, she deleted her Twitter. Thank you, everyone. You soiled it. You ruined the one thing I liked in life, and now she's gone from Twitter.
I will say this. I think he was set up, but that's just me.
I do, too. I do, too. No, I'm glad. I'm glad because I have some theories, actually. We got to talk about this. Let's we don't have to talk about what happened, but we could talk about our theories. You think he was set up. I totally thought that. I thought maybe he set it. Maybe he set this in motion, hoping he would get, like, fired from the Jaguars. I think maybe Shelley might have known about this, and he was going to set this up at his own, like, restaurant, try to get it recorded, and then basically, like, have the Jaguars fire him so we can go back to, like, Fox but collect the Jaguars' paycheck and not have to coach anymore. That's what I thought. Like, maybe he was trying to do, and like Shelley was in on it, but I don't think it's well thought out.
No, and I don't think he understood what he was really doing either.
He looked like drunk or something.
My thing is how I think it was set up was, how in the world you go into the guy's restaurant, the gentleman's own restaurant, and say, in the state of Ohio, in Columbus, and you say, I have no idea who this is, but he keeps flirting with me. Come on. How do you not know who that is? His picture's on the wall.
I think she did that sarcastically in her snap.
I don't know, but it was a joke. But
and Ryan Day was wearing the same like zip up a few days later. I don't think he was trolling him. I honestly think because I'm pretty sure all those coaches have those.
They have the same zip up.
Yeah, like I remember Greg Madison always used to wear. I think Ryan Day was just like, oh, it's a nice fall day. Here's a press conference. Ryan Day doesn't seem like a guy that really cares what he wears. The dude would wear like a sweatshirt, like a short sleeve sweatshirt. So if you're a guy like that, you don't really care what you wear, in my opinion.
And he's probably wearing shorts too. So
yeah,
I mean, come on, like, geez, Lord, like,
let's get back to football.
Like, really? But I mean, it is what it is. So let's jump ahead now. Let's get to our picks.
Big week of football.
Big week. October is my favorite month of college football, by the way.
It is. I mean, we have NFL, we have MLB playoffs on right now, and we have a great slate of games this weekend, Cass. I mean, a really tantalizing weekend, in my opinion. Might be one of the best weekends of the year so far.
I'm going to start off right at noon. The consolation round of the SEC, the losers bracket, Arkansas at Ole Miss. Both teams were thrashed by Alabama and Georgia. Mississippi, Ole Miss is a 5.5 favorite, and I'm taking the Rebels to cover too.
That it is the consolation. It is the consolation bracket. I'm gonna take Ole Miss. I feel like Ole Miss – I feel like Arkansas is really down themselves because they got shut out to Georgia. Ole Miss, they're like, oh, you know, we, 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 scored some points on Bama. It's Bama. I think Ole Miss is going to come out and put up points. So, yeah, definitely give me the Rebels.
The Red River Shootout, one of my favorite rivalries. It's going to suck that I'm going to miss this because I'm working the game.
Borderline, not a playoff game, but a major playoff implication.
Cincinnati has this game circled, by the way.
Yeah.
Texas is Oklahoma's 3-point favorite.
I'm on Texas. I'm on Texas on this one. I don't think they're that bad, in my opinion.
I don't think they're that bad either. But Oklahoma always shows up for this game, and this could be the emergence of finally Oklahoma's offense finally gets to going.
Bijan Robinson, though.
But it's not going to be, because who's going to stop Bijan Robinson? My favorite to win the Heisman this year. I don't care what anybody says. I think he's my favorite to win the Heisman. Just because I've seen inconsistency out of all the other quarterbacks. I really like Bijan Robinson, but I hate to do this. Give me Texas.
I'm definitely taking Texas here.
Michigan State and Rutgers. This game is in Piscataway. Michigan State gave up 31 points to Western Kentucky. Rutgers is going to be playing with a bad taste in their mouth. I still think Sparty gets it done, but this is going to be – I think this could be a dogfight. I really do.
I'm going to go with Rutgers here. I don't see that team losing three in all a row. And they also beat Michigan State last year. It's at home. I think out of all the three teams they just played, Michigan State's the worst. I think Michigan's a little better. I think obviously Ohio State's better than all of them. But I think Rutgers gets it done close in Piscataway. Give me the Rutgers by like a field goal.
Okay. We're not picking this game, but I just want to point it out. Vanderbilt has won two games. Their tickets were as low as a dollar against UConn last Saturday. They're a 39-point underdog. I would say Florida would win this, but Florida's in bad shape right now. They're trying to figure out their quarterback situation. I mean, who am I kidding? Florida's going to win by 39.
Florida's going to kill them, but they're not. Right. This is a rebuilding year for Florida.
Right. All right, we scroll down to the 3:30 games. Georgia's at Auburn. This one?
Sneaky.
That defense of Georgia, though. It's a rivalry game in Auburn. Georgia's a 15.5-point favorite. Georgia wins, but they do not cover.
I definitely would pick Auburn to cover here.
Yes, but Georgia still
wins. Like, I always feel like Bo Nix, whenever he makes plays, he's always getting like blitzed. There's something – it's something crazy. Like he's getting blitzed, or like he breaks a tackle and throws a touchdown.
Somebody needs to help Bo Nix out.
I think if Bo Nix plays like that and Georgia like tries to send the house on him, I think Bo Nix honestly might be able to take advantage of Georgia. I really do think that. And Penn State, they're a top four team. Auburn didn't look that bad against Penn State when they went to Happy Valley, you know? And that's a tough environment to play, and they kept it close. I don't think Auburn's as bad as people think. I'll go Auburn here. I think
with the upset.
Yeah, I think Georgia's riding high after the Arkansas win. They probably think they're undefeated, like they're unbeatable. They beat Clemson, they beat Arkansas. They're shutting teams out, but for some reason, I just see Bo Nix just lighting them up for some reason.
And then we got the big one at 4 o'clock on Fox, big noon kickoff. Penn State at Iowa. Iowa's a 1.5-point favorite. Unless Penn State has found some sort of a running game, I like Iowa. Kinnick is no joke.
It's no joke, but neither is Happy Valley, you know. I'm gonna go Penn State here. I think it just comes down to
this could be the best game on TV, by the way.
Iowa has the defense. Penn State has the best offensive player in Jahan Dotson, and they have the quarterback, Clifford. That right there. And they're honestly, Penn State's defense doesn't get enough credit. Their corners are unreal. Like, well, yeah. Joey Porter Jr.
It's going to be a close game. Can they stop the run, and can they establish a running game?
They could do that. Because I think Penn State has advantages, I think, basically everywhere else. But, yeah, if it comes to just establishing the run, that's gonna be the difference. But I'll take the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, I'll take Iowa. And then Michigan travels to Nebraska on primetime. Look, folks, I've picked Michigan to get upset the past 2 weeks, and they've proved me wrong. So I'm taking the Wolverines all day and hope that Nebraska beats them. But give me the Wolverines.
Sam. I know for a fact now Nebraska's going to beat them. But legally, we're 0 for like 4. We're 0 for 4, 0 for 5. Just
I'm 0 for 2 the past 2 weeks. Yeah, so
just fading the freaking Wolverines. So I'm not going to fade them. But you can thank me later when they lose this.
All right. And the last one we'll pick, because it's the only other intriguing one. And it's my upset pick of the week. Notre Dame travels to Blacksburg on 7:30. Give me the Hokies. I think Notre Dame, we saw their true colors last week, and I don't think they'll have enough to beat Virginia Tech. Give me the Hokies.
Virginia Tech is the best team in the ACC right now, I believe.
No, that's Wake Forest.
Is it really? Oh, wow.
I think. I'm going to look up the standings real quick.
No. Oh, yeah, Wake Forest.
So you're looking at, right here, the possible ACC title game. Brace yourself, folks. Wake Forest and Pitt. Unless Virginia Tech continues to win.
If the ACC title game, mark this down right now. If the ACC title game is Wake Forest, Pitt, I'm going. I will go to that over the Big Ten championship, even if Ohio State's playing, just as a joke.
But it won't be. I think Clemson still ultimately wins this league.
Yeah, they'll somehow put together.
And they'll get a two-loss. They'll be a two-loss Clemson team in the playoffs somehow.
Absolutely ridiculous. What about a keep your eye on it game? Bama A&M. Keep your eye on it. Bama still wins by 31.
Keep your eye on it. Stanford and Arizona State. Stanford coming off that big upset win over Oregon.
I called it on the podcast. I said every year, either the year when Stanford and Oregon play, if Oregon's highly ranked, Stanford wins. If Stanford's highly ranked, Oregon wins. It's always the worst team that wins that matchup for some reason.
By the way, Wake Forest is at Syracuse Saturday at 3:30. Wake Forest is only a 5-point favorite, 6-point favorite over Syracuse. Keep your eye on that one.
I feel like a game at the Carrier Dome would be so much fun.
As long as it's basketball.
No, honestly, a football game at the Carrier Dome sounds so much fun. I'm not going to Boston College, Syracuse. Pittsburgh, so, Syracuse.
Yeah. So basically, switch gears to Big Ten Media Day for basketball was this week. EJ Liddell looks good, man. He's slimmed down. Apparently they've worked on his jump game, and Coach Holtman, the Holtman, said it's big key to have EJ Liddell and Kyle Young back. And he said Michi Johnson's going to have a huge role this year. Look for big things out of the basketball Buckeyes coming up. Boy, the season starts in a month. Can't wait. One of the best times to be a Buckeye fan is November and December, when you got football rolling into postseason and then basketball just getting started. It's a great time.
I love like the week or two right before Thanksgiving, once basketball gets started, Buckeye football is preparing for the game. And then there's like one or two basketball games a week or like a few days before the game on campus. And they usually play an easy like MAC opponent or a local school. That's the best time, in my opinion, Cass.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was saying. His best time to be an Ohio State fan is when the basketball Buckeyes are playing and football
team. Absolutely. I know they're eager to get back out there after the Oral Roberts debacle.
Yeah, I wish we were getting Dwayne Washington Jr. back, but hey, that, you know, that happens.
Yeah, frustrating too because he went undrafted. Frustrated me.
I know Michigan and Purdue are the heavy favorites to win the division, the league this year, which rightfully so. But Buckeyes are right there, third, fourth, and fifth. So Tuesday, the Wednesday before, the big game, the Monday and Wednesday before, we're on that Fort Myers tip off with Seton Hall in Florida. So those are some good games right before we play Michigan. And then the week after, the Tuesday after, the Big Ten ACC Challenge, Coach K's last trip to Columbus as a coach. Tuesday, November 30th, a couple of days after.
It's the tickets are already like $250. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Expensive. Yeah, they're expensive. So they will play Xavier at 6 o'clock on Fox Sports 1 Thursday, November 18th, 6:30. That has been announced. The Fort Myers tip off November 15th, Monday, November 15th. They will take on Bowling Green at 6:30 in Value City Arena, and they will play Akron Tuesday, November 9th at 6 p.m. Those are the announced times that were released this week. Oh, and they will play Sunday, December 5th against Penn State at 7:30. So some times, and Saturday, December 11th against Wisconsin at noon, and then Saturday, December 18th against Kentucky, CBS Sports Classic at 5. Those are some of your notable games that actually have times now.
I just love that, like, all these random basketball tournaments they do in random tropical places. Like, they'll do, like, the Battle for Atlantis. Maui Invitational, the Fort Myers. It's places that don't have any sports teams, really, and they just throw a random college basketball tournament there. I love it.
And I think Coach Holtman's goal was to get to Maui.
The invitation.
Yeah. Because Thad Mata never played in these tournaments under Thad.
I'm sure Ohio State could get to the Maui Invitational pretty quick if they wanted it.
It's just being invited.
I mean, dude, you're telling me Ohio State wouldn't get invited to the Maui Invitational if they, like, really reached out? It's Texas A&M, Wisconsin, Butler, Houston, Oregon, Chaminade, St. Mary's, and Notre Dame. I feel like Ohio State can kind of wield their stick there. No Duke, no.
No North Carolina?
Ohio State just needs to wield their stick, and I guarantee you they would boot Chaminade or St. Mary's immediately. Even Butler.
Maybe next year. So there's our random things about this year, about basketball. I'm glad it's going to be back. Boy, it's going to be a great weekend, beautiful weekend. Go to the Shoe. Enjoy the game against Maryland. Come by the Fox truck. Say hi to me, you know. I'll be out there, you know, working. So it's going to be fun, a lot of fun. I know it's not Gus and Joel, but, hey, it's Aaron Goldsmith and Bruce Feldman is on sideline report, and Brock Heward. So,
Cass, I have breaking news. Actually, you might want to brace yourselves. Ohio State is playing the Maui Invitational in 2022.
Oh, I knew it was happening. There we go. I knew it was happening.
I got it. We got the tournament fields, future tournament fields. It's Arkansas, Arizona, Cincinnati, Creighton, Louisville, The Ohio State University, San Diego State, Texas Tech. That's going to be a fun one.
Buckeyes Bearcats for the final.
Buckeyes Creighton.
Big show next week. We're on a bye week. So we're going to, you know, we're on a bye week next week. The Buckeyes are. Our good friend TJ Downing, former offensive guard, all Big Ten offensive guard from the early 2000s, played in that 2006 game against Michigan and, you know, ultimately lost the national championship to Florida. The topic of discussion, so we know how great this wide receiver room is, and his topic on Facebook today was the number one running back duos your favorite running back duos. So I posed this thing and said, man, what if we did the greatest wide receiver duos in college football and at Ohio State? So Dan and I are going to use our pick our brains after the Maryland game. We're going to start Sunday. Pick our brains, you know, give our top five Ohio State and top five nationally. And we're going to compare them with our good friend TJ Downing next week on next week's podcast. It's going to be a must listen. When you have those bye week blues, it's going to be a must listen show.
I'm already going down a rabbit hole with this. Like before the show, just to give you like a preview, I was looking up Paul Warfield stats to compare it to modern day stats, and I was looking at his like whoever his other wide receiver was, which there was like there's no wide receivers apparently in the 1960s. It's gonna get nuts.
It's gonna be fun. I think Ohio State will be a lot more easier than nationally. College, because when you think about National College, how can you not put Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr.? What about CeeDee Lamb and Hollywood Brown from Oklahoma? The Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle, it'd be hard not to miss them. the dude Andre Johnson and Roscoe Parrish from the Miami Hurricanes. There's a lot, huge list, big breakdown. Gives us something to do during the bye week.
Absolutely. Cass, any more thoughts as I'm going down this Maui Invitational rabbit hole? Bro, I'm obsessed with this thing right now, the Maui. I'm so excited for 2022. I want to get a Maui Invitational champion, Ohio State champion shirt. Yeah. Maybe honestly, if I strike it big between now and the 2022 Maui Invitational, we're flying out there.
Maui, wear the pineapple Hawaiian shirt.
Oh my
God. Maybe we could borrow a shirt from JT Tui Maloau.
Oh yeah, just rock the Hawaiians there.
Yes. No, go Bucks, beat the Terrapins. 50 again, my score prediction 59-10. If you're listening, give us your score predictions. We want to hear from your guys. We always talk about your score predictions. Maybe Dan will put up on the Twitter and say, what is your score predictions? Don't give us a book reason why your score predictions. Just put the score prediction, please.
We do not need your keys to the game.
No. There's a couple guys I could think of. Jordan is it Kapler?
Yeah,
he's a good friend of ours on the pod. I feel like he would give us a whole book, and
our buddy Bob would give us a whole book.
Yes. Yeah, give us your score predictions and what you're going to do on the bye week.
Absolutely. That does it for another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. Go Bucks and go out and support the team.
And aloha from Maui in 2022.